Thank you for joining us this morning. Friends, when Jesus had finished his earthly ministry and he was about to return to his place at the right hand of the Father, he commissioned his disciples, including his church, with the words from our text. And our text is Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So can you hear me on Zoom, everybody? We got a message here that nobody can hear.
No, everything's clear.
No. Can I continue? I can go on. Thank you. Technology always messes with us sometimes. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We call these words the Great Commission. He told his disciples that they are to passionately engage in the Great Commission. And then he had ascended into heaven. I like the story about a truck driver who was hauling a load of 500 penguins to the zoo. Unfortunately, his truck broke down. He eventually waved down another truck and offered the driver of that truck $500 to take these penguins to the zoo. Later that day, the first truck driver got his truck fixed, and as he was driving into town, he couldn't believe his eyes. Just ahead of him, he saw the second truck driver crossing the street with 500 penguins waddling single file behind him. He jumped out of his truck, ran up to the guy and said, "What's going on? I gave you $500 to take these penguins to the zoo." The man responded, "I did take them to the zoo, but I had enough money left over, so now we're going to the movies." You see, friend, this guy didn't fully understand his assignment. He didn't understand the command he had received. And likewise, many of us who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are vague and unclear about the command Jesus gave to his disciples. Do you agree? The word commission is defined by the Webster's Dictionary as the authority to act for, to act on behalf of, and to act in place of another. All authority was given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And then based on this authority that he mentioned in verse 18, Jesus then commissions us as his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. He commissioned us to be his ambassadors, to be his spokesmen, spokesperson. He sends us to be his feet, going wherever he sends us, which may not only it might only be in our hometown or to places that are foreign to us on the other end of the earth. Jesus sends us to be his hands, to selflessly serve others, showing his love and his mercy and compassion to the world. Jesus sends us to be his mouth, proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing the good news to those who otherwise are sentenced to suffer God's holy wrath for the rest of eternity. The mission of the church, friends, given to us by our Lord Jesus, is to go into all the world and make disciples of others. A disciple is someone who follows the Lord passionately, who serves the Lord diligently. Friends, Jesus did not issue a decree to make disciples soft in their commitment and occasional in their obedience. He has called us to share the gospel. Here are 10 qualities of a disciple of Jesus. 10 qualities. A disciple has a passion, a passionate commitment to Jesus Christ. A disciple has an extraordinary love for other people. They have a heart of a servant. They are sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. They are governed by the authority of God's word. They live morally pure. They are evangelistically bold. They are engaged in biblical community. They are just and generous. And 10, they live their lives with purpose and on mission. Friends, I know that you are disciples. But are you making disciples? That's the question for today. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14 and 15, how then can they call on the one, capital O, the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I love this verse. These verses show us the necessity of proclaiming the gospel worldwide, friends. Are we making disciples of all nations? Before in the past, Jesus directed his disciples to only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10, 5 and 6. But now it's different. His mission was to go global. Isn't that true? From our community, our county, our country, our continent. Isn't that something? Revelations 5, it's not in the screen. Revelation 5, verse 9, John said, with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Men and women and children, friends, are urged to come to Jesus and ask him to come into their lives and to be their Savior and Lord. People have to be urged. People cannot believe unless they hear about Jesus Christ. They cannot hear about Jesus unless someone takes the good news to them about Jesus. All believers in Jesus have been commissioned to fulfill their part in reaching out to the lost in their hometown and around the world. Psalm 67 is called the Mission Song. Did you know that? The psalmist sings, and we're going to put it on the screen. Listen to how the psalmist starts the song. A hymn is a song. May God be gracious and to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah. Now we do Bible studies on Wednesday, every Wednesday night, and we discuss this word Selah. This word Selah means to pause, to reflect, and to ask why. To pause, to reflect, and ask why. So now we're going to read it again. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Why? That your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. Now do you know why we want God's blessing? Now do you know why we want his face to shine upon us? So that he will be known on the earth. And that his salvation will be among the nations. The song is a prayer for God's blessing and his salvation to include all nations. Note that the psalmist didn't say, bless me so that I can be comfortable. Bless me so that I don't have to work that hard. Bless me so that others can admire me and envy me and say, wow. The psalmist doesn't say, bless me so that I can be successful in the eyes of the world. The psalmist is not even saying, bless me so I can bless others. By all means, God wants us to bless, God blesses us so that we may bless others too. But still, the fundamental reason for God blessing us, friends, is that we may make his ways known and his salvation known to all nations. That's why you are blessed. You're not blessed so that, see, I'm better than you. No, he is saying, I am blessing you. I am blessing you so that you can make me known to all the nations. This is what it's about, friends. We've just sung a song. Let your glory fall in this place, in this room. And let it go forth from here to the nations. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? The glory, the presence of God. That awesome presence of God, we may make known to others. We have a mission in the world. To those who do not believe yet. John 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you. Did you see that verse, friends? What are we sent to do? Paul is very specific in the next verse, Acts 20, 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. What work? Okay. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Did you see that? Do you see Paul is saying, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Another version says to tell people about the good news of God's wonderful kindness and love. I think the best thing we can tell people, God loves you. People will love to hear that. God loves you. Nobody's going to argue with you and say, no, he doesn't. They want to hear that, friends. What a point of departure. Then you can share the good news. Friends, our purpose is to share the good news with others. The Lord says that once I know the good news that God loves me, that Jesus has redeemed me, that Jesus gave his life for me, that I may have life, that his blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness, that I have been reconciled to God. And as a child of God, God has a plan and purpose for my life. I have to pass it on to others. Amen. I have to tell others. Now, where am I supposed to share this? Jesus gets more specific. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So how do we let God use us so that we can complete our mission? Firstly, friends, I must share with those in my world. I must share with those in my world. When Jesus said this, where was he standing when he said these words? In Jerusalem. He was standing in Jerusalem. So here's the point. Jesus is saying, first, using common sense, guys, I want you to start at home. Start with the people closest to you, right there in your own town, in your own community. Provide a creative and an innovative presentation of God's love in a relevant way. You don't have to knock them over the head with the Bible and tell them how wrong their church is. You don't have to tell them to turn or burn. No. You have to come up with creative ways to be a friend and to be a witness of all that God has done in your life. Isn't that something? I don't have to be able to quote, you know, David Livingstone said this. No, I'll tell him what happened to me. Dwight reminded me the one time of something I said years ago when the missionary was asked, how do you know you saved? The missionary said, I was there when it happened. I was there. I didn't read about it. I was there. Friends, you've got to start with what God has done in your life. Help your friends out when they need help. Listen to them. Take them for a coffee. Invite them to the church. Talk about the awesome worship we have. Tell them about your pastor, how lovely he is. Some people are not going to tell him that. I won't. I'm only kidding. You too. That's the starting point. Tell him about what is happening. Tell him how great it is to worship, man. Tell them how great it is to serve God. Invite them for coffee. Help them, yeah. Invite them to church and so on. There was a man who, after Jesus healed him from demon possession, he wanted to travel with Jesus and his disciples, but Jesus said, no, I don't want you to do that. What did Jesus say? Luke 8, verse 39. Jesus said this, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And when he went his way, he proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Isn't that something, friends? He wanted to go to other places. Jesus says, no, stay at home. You got a whole town, the whole city there. And he went and he gave it, friends. He was a witness. Jesus says the same things to us. Our mission starts right in our own homes, in our own neighborhood, in our own community, friends. One reason why we don't do this is sometimes we believe the myth that people aren't interested in spiritual things. It's not true, friends. Surveys done in North America say that more people are interested in spiritual things now than they were 10 years ago. Do you know that in the United States of America, a survey was done and it discovered that 65 million people did not go to church, did not have a church home. And of those 65 million, the survey found out that 34 million of them said they would attend if someone would invite them. Okay? 34 million are just waiting for an invitation. Isn't that something? And we're afraid and nervous to go and share with the people because we don't know all the answers theologically. Somebody might ask us a question we don't know. But friends, listen. You can start by telling them what the Lord done to you. I went to the University of Calgary. I decided I'm going to share the gospel that day. I found a person that was from the Eastern countries. And as I was talking to them about Jesus, this person, she said, oh, hang on. My parents are Buddhist and this and that and other, but me, I believe in this ball. It's a light. It floats around. I believe in that. I didn't know. I was so scared. I was so nervous. I thought, man, I haven't even heard about this ball. But then I said, listen, I don't understand about that. But let me tell you something, what Jesus has done for me and how he saved me. He saved me because he loved me. He loves me. And as I was talking about what the Lord has done in my life, there came the tears. Because you see, I didn't have the time to argue about stuff. But I told her what Jesus done for me and made all the difference, friends. Friends, there are opportunities to share the good news all around us. They are staring us in the face every day. We just have to be ready for them. God wants to use you. I give myself away that you may use me. We sang it so lovely. God says, yes, man, I want to use you. There are 1,000 different ways you can be a witness. And you can start by simply telling them what God did for me in my life. Why? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is why God wants us to go, friends. Okay? God is not willing that any should perish. As long as there's one person out there who doesn't know the good news, God is saying, we've got to keep reaching out. We have good news. We have the best news in the world, and we have to share it. We need to share, reach one more. And it starts in our own home. It starts in our Jerusalem. Secondly, friends, I must dare to reach beyond my world. Firstly, I must share with those in my world, and then I must dare to reach those beyond my world. And our little church on the edge of town here, we have reached out to many nations from this little building here. Hey, you say, where you went to, Keith? Okay, I'll tell you then. We went to Mexico several times. People from here went to the Ukraine. We went to the Philippines. We went to South Korea. We went to South Africa. You see that? Nations. We have people from India went to Azerbaijan. Nations, friends. We must dare to reach beyond our world. Jesus said, then I want you to go to Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's like saying to us, I want you to go to the Thoyle County. Hey, the Smoky Lake, I want you to go now to the Thoyle country. I want you to go to the Saskatchewan, the next province. I want you to go to the next country. I want you to go to the next continent. Do you see that, friends? The Samaritans were different culturally and racially. And then I want you to go to the ends of the earth to reach everybody with the good news. Jesus doesn't say, hey guys, when you get there, I want you to be my defense attorney. Defend me, okay? He does not say, I want you to be my prosecutor. He doesn't even say, I want you to be my salespeople. He says, I want you to be my witness. And what is a witness? A witness is somebody who tells others what they have seen, especially in his or her own life. Okay? This is what happened to me. I saw it. God wants us to be his witness. What is a witness? You understand. Someone who sees and tells. Nobody can be a better witness of your life and what God has done for you than you. Isn't that true?
That's true.
God says, I want you to tell other people what I've done for you through my son, Jesus. Tell those closest to you, those near but are different, and then everybody else. Why? Because God is building a family of every nation of people, friends, who love and trust him, that are going to spend eternity with him. You know, I was quite pleased the other day I was reading that the church in Iran, they're doing great. You say, what? Aren't those all like terrorists? And no, there's a church there. Because somebody took the good news of Jesus and made them into believers, the nations of the world. Do you see that? Sometimes we want to write off certain nations. Eh? I don't like those people. Yeah, but God is saying, wait, I love those people. I want you to tell them about me. Friends, it's going to happen. And the amazing thing is that God has chosen us to complete the mission. This is the mission that Jesus started when he came to earth. And now God is saying, I want my people to finish it. What an awesome privilege. Being on a mission that God has given us. Love demands that I move beyond my comfort zone to people with different cultures, different backgrounds, different languages, different economics. Our mission has eternal consequences, heaven or hell. So we must be willing to risk everything to get the message out. Do you know that I preached in South Korea? What? Yes. Young was my interpreter. We preach in the Philippines, Dwight and I, Helen and others, Liz, Young and others. We preached in Mexico. I don't know one Spanish word, but I preached there. You know, friends, our mission has eternal consequences, heaven or hell. You see that? So we must be willing to risk everything to get the message out. A few years ago, I got a phone call from a Baptist pastor in Edrie. He said, "Hey, Pastor Keith, I hear you love the missions man. Somebody was telling him about me. I want to invite you to come with me. Let's go and preach in the Ukraine." I was a little bit nervous. And then we, Ellen and I, were talking about it and saying, "This is the Lord, let's do it." And then the war started there in the one area we were going to go. Friends, listen, tell me something. Let me tell you something. This is not a debate now. Do you know that COVID-19 cases have now hit over 150 million people? Do you know that of this 150 million people, 3.1 million have died? Numbers are changing. If I developed a cure, okay, if I developed a cure for this disease, would I want to share it with the world? Yes, I would. Would you also not go to every news station, travel across the world, tell everyone how to be saved from this deadly disease? Yes. Friends, we know a statistic about a disease far more deadly than COVID-19. Do you know that approximately 5.3 billion people, listen, 5.3 billion people of the world are not Christian and face the lost eternity in hell? Why? Due to a disease called sin. You see, if I had the COVID cure, I would give it to the person and they will get better, praise God, but they will eventually die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But I've got something, friends, that is more important. The good news of Jesus Christ. That while everyone is affected by this disease, the cure is known and is available to all who will believe in Jesus. And now not only do they have a few more years here on this earth, but they have eternity to look forward to in the presence of God. Isn't that true? That's how important the good news of Jesus Christ is, friends. If I had the cure for cancer, every one of us knows someone who struggles with cancer. Listen, if I had the cure, I'll be shouting it from the rooftops. I will stop the traffic there in Edmonton. I'll have a megaphone and I'll be telling the people, write down this remedy. Take it to every cancer person. It would be a criminal for me to keep it a secret. Isn't that true, friends? It's a criminal act. But I've got something even more important than that. I've got the way to eternal life. We've got a cure. Someone cared enough to tell me. I wasn't always a Christian. Someone told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got to be caring enough to tell others. I've said this before, that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Christians are called to be bridges, not walls. God expects us to make the first move. In fact, over and over again, God says the one word, go. Go. I want you to go. I said this before, you can't spell God without go. You can't spell good news without go. You can't spell gospel without go. We have to go. You say, Keith, when I go out, yeah, on my way home, yeah, it's called the mission field outside. It's called the mission field. I love how the Greeks write the word go. They don't just say go. The Greeks say, as you are going. As you are going. You know what they mean, your friend? This is not a program, start, finish. This is a lifestyle.
Thank you, Lord.
As you are going, tell the good news. Don't say, okay, you know what, Dwight, we okay now. We went to Philippines. We okay, don't worry. No, that's just go. But as we are going, it's a continuous thing. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. Next county, next country, next continent. As we are going, we are telling the good news of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Do you know about Coca-Cola? All of us do. Did you know that Coca-Cola has been in existence for 129 years? Do you also know that Coke products are marketed and sold in over 200 countries around the world? But you know what floored me the most, friends? Was learning that 94% of the world's population, 94% of the world's population has heard of Coca-Cola and can recognize its red and white logo, regardless of what language is it in. 94% know about Coke. More people around the world had heard of it and have access to a can of Coke than they have to a Bible or to someone, a believer who's willing to share their faith with them. Isn't that something? Hey? Those statistics are startling. But keep in mind, friend, that Coca-Cola, all it really takes is a lot of money and marketing. However, making disciples of all nations takes personal sacrifice and commitment. Jesus never promised us a life of comfort and prosperity as his followers. He said, no, wait, guys, go and tell. Go and tell. If you get involved in your mission in the world, it's going to cost you, friends. It's going to cost you your time, your money, your effort. It's going to cost you your energy and maybe even your privacy. But God has promised us, friends, an eternal reward. God says, whatever you do for me is not in vain. It's going to take you to a new level in your spiritual maturity. And in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said to his followers, Mark chapter 16, Jesus said to his followers, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Was Jesus talking to pastors and missionaries? Everyone. He was talking to ordinary, available followers. If you are a Christian, listen what Jesus said. You remember, it's not on the screen. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Is it true then that if you're not fishing, you're not following? Think about that one. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And if you're not fishing, are you following? People all around the world are hungry for the good news, friends. Everyone needs Jesus. They may pretend to be the big shots. They may put up the barriers, but in their hearts, they know that they are empty without God. Helen and I were talking about that and how some people are so caught up in materialism that they just keep adding to it because of that emptiness in their hearts where they know they need the Lord. Therefore, we have been commissioned and we have a mission to tell the good news of Jesus. And fulfilling your mission is the secret of a fulfilled life. I'm going to end now. Jesus, friends, let the Holy Spirit put the will of God in your heart. Psalm 67, let's just go back to verse 2 there. That's the last verse. That your way may be known on earth. Your salvation among the nations. Before someone can call upon the name of the Lord, there must be faith. Before faith, there must be hearing. Before hearing, there must be telling. And before telling, there must be someone surrendered to God's great commission. Amen. Baptist pastor Edwin Pruden once reminded his congregation that every church is a product of someone's missionary activity. Do you know the history of this church? Husband and wife missionary team came to town. This is the result. Okay? Edwin Pruden said every church should be reminded that it is a monument of a missionary impulse. The missionary who came here was sent by the Slavic Gospel Mission Society. Every church should be reminded that they are set down in the midst of a mission field. Every church should be reminded that it has fallen heir to the great commission which Jesus gave to his disciples. I've asked the question before, and I'm going to end with that, friends. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? When you get to heaven, is somebody going to come up to you and say, hey, thank you, man. Thanks for sharing and telling me the good news of Jesus Christ. I received him as my savior. He was the Lord of my life. And yeah, I'm spending eternity with him because you shared with me. You knew it, but you didn't keep it a secret. You passed it on. I was reading, you know, I like statistics and that, right? I was reading that every year, and this year is going to be more, and last year was more. But on average, 54 million people die a year in the world. And most of them will go to a lost eternity without Jesus Christ. Well, Pete, there's 7 point something billion. It's okay. 54 million. No, not even one is okay. Why? God does not want anyone to perish. Right? That's too many. If we care, we must share. The dangerous prayer we can say, Lord, use me. Use me. I dare you to say it. Do you have enough courage to say, God, use my life? If you do, watch what happens. The Bible says a little, the songwriter says, a little becomes much when it's placed in the master's hand. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we must admit that we get nervous to do so. But I like how what Jesus said. And behold, I'll be with you. I will be with you for eternity. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So that when we're telling people this, our testimonies and sharing your good news with them, Lord, Jesus is right with us. And that really changes everything. That gives us a new boldness. I'm praying, Lord, for our church family, all those on Zoom, yeah, all in the sanctuary, that you will give us open doors. That you will give us opportunity to tell others about you, Lord, about your love. I pray this, we will hear testimony of how we influence people's lives with the good news for you, Lord. Help us all. Help us all to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help us all, Lord God, to see opportunity even when nobody else can see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to close with a lovely hymn, friends. Oh, before we close, we're going to have communion. Amen. Praise the Lord. It happens. I want to read the text. We can read it from Luke chapter 24. Let's do that. And verse 30. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Remember when I quoted that? When I shared about the two men on the road to Emmaus. Isn't that something, friends? Jesus took the bread and broke it, and their eyes were opened. And as we gather this morning, friends, to receive the Lord's from the Lord's table, where we receive communion, may our eyes be open, friends, to all that Jesus has done for us. And is doing for us and will do for us. Friends, I want to read the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat and drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back, until he comes." Let's pray. We celebrated the coming at Christmas time when we put the date aside and we said, this is the date we're going to remember when Jesus was born. Thank you. And then we saw how you suffered and died, how you gave your body for us. And Lord, our hearts were sore, but then we rejoiced when we heard that you rose from the dead. And now, Lord, we gather around the table, and Lord, we do so because we know that we proclaim in your death, but above that, we are excited again because we know you are coming back. You are coming back. I want you to know, Father, that we love you. That we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the body and blood of Jesus that was shed so that we can be forgiven and reconciled with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.